Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
All right, welcome back to Tuesday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast with Gerard Gilroy and myself. The Cork contingent in the studio has increased exponentially. Thank you so much for that, Rachel Sheehan. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Colin. Ger, how are things?
Good.
So, Cork beat Tip in the Munster Championship. We were looking for a double swoop here in the Camogie. Did not happen.
Didn't happen, no. I was listening to Tommy describing his weekend of sport earlier, and bar that one Camogie game, I was kind of 4 for 4 across a great weekend of sport.
What were your four?
Started off Friday, went golfing for the first time in about 5 or 6 years in the K Club.
Oh,
which is great. Yeah,
I knew about this. Yeah. You know, I knew about this.
You tell anyone that you haven't golfed in like 6 or 7 years and the first round is in the K Club, someone who plays regularly and has been playing across the winter, and they're just the disdain in their eyes.
Yeah, of course. This is the Jackie Hurley's event.
It is.
Yeah.
There's been 72 women kind of involved in sport.
Hang on, did you win?
I didn't win, no, but it was important just to take part.
Oh, sorry.
She really turned to sports mode there. I didn't win, but it's important to be there and developing my game.
Yeah, I respected everybody else in the field.
Sorry, you 4 from 4 is actually just playing golf at the K Club. I get it, sorry. You're already winning.
We had a few recognizable faces. We had yourself, Megan Scully was there.
Megan Scully won. She was on the winning team.
Wow.
She'd never played before, so they divvy up the teams with two people who have probably never played before, one absolute baller and someone in the middle. So it was great. I was playing with Ashley Maher.
All right.
Of Dublin Camogie, who kept lining up as if she was going to take a free. Like she'd put the club across her knees, go for the flag, and like she'd have to check herself for every now and then. Wondering why she's skewing everything left.
I was going to ask, was she the baller on your team?
No. Baller on our team was a woman called Anne who played off 4 before.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Absolute baller.
And there's Breed Ryan too from Queen Bee Athletics, who of course we've met before as well. So it was all happening.
Yeah, it was a great day. Ciara McGeehan was there. She won one of the best newcomers. Yeah, so it was great. Great day.
So that was 1 out of 4.
That was 1 out of 4. Saturday then, went to the Aviva.
Yes.
My first football game there, which was great. Great results. Popped out then after to watch the rugby team and the Dexcom on TV. That was 3. And then I was including the double header as one event because I thought it would just all come together quite beautifully. And it started off great. Like I'd never worked at an inter-county championship game in Turles before. I covered the club finals in January between Athenry and the Bears. So it was just a great experience even to get into the press box there in a day like that. But I couldn't believe the crowds in Turles already early at about 12:30, like driving through the square. Place was just, like, weather helped, but the place was electric.
Yeah.
Mm. I was almost jealous for a second, you know, unzipping the backpack, watching the people coming off the train like I used to. Like, oh, have I done the right thing here?
Oh, you have.
I have.
You know?
I have.
So this didn't work out, though, from the Cork perspective. Tip got the win.
But
Tip,
way more Cork people there than Tip people.
Yeah.
Noticeably, apparently.
Yeah, like looking out from where we were, the entire town end was all red. That terrace flares, the chance going early. Looking across, it was like something really satisfying about when a blue and a red team play against each other. Just looking at the crowd, like divided, Cork on the right, Tip on the left. And yeah, way more like... way louder. I was probably had a little bit more to cheer about on the day, but like you said, didn't get off to the greatest start with Camogie.
That was the case of both Camogie and the hurling, that the Cork fans outnumbered Tip.
Yeah. Now, like, in terms of the doubleheader, a lot of the crowd didn't come in until like the final kind of 15 minutes because they were showing the Clare and Waterford game in the Dome, which, fair enough. I mean, like, a lot of those results are going to be depending on what happens in the next game. So I understand that. But I think the Tip Camogie team were buoyed a lot more by the home support just because by the time they arrived, they were kind of hitting their stride. They were hitting their purple patch.
Cork dominated in the hurling in the second half. They had that purple patch where they outscored. It was a 13-4. But Tip pretty much dominated this match, this Camogie one.
They did, yeah. They were all over Cork in the first half, even though they had 8 wides and like some really poor wides as well that you probably should have put over. But given how things have been historically between the teams, I'd say they probably would have been delighted to be going in that way. It came out in the second half, and then Saoirse McCarthy popped over three frees for Cork to take the lead, and you thought, right, they're kind of really going to push on here now, like the experience will shine through. But all credit to where credit is due to Tip. Two subs came on, Heffernan and Jean Kelly, and they got 4 points between them. And Emer McGrath, who's first cousin of the lads, she did her cruciate last year, so she missed the entire year. She came up with 1-4, and the goal was brilliant. And that was at the stage when the crowd was really filling in, and they got behind them. And I spoke to James Heffernan, the Tip manager, afterwards, just to see how much of an influence Emer had on the team, and for Tipperary as a whole, what the double header meant to them, because there's a lot of family ties involved as well.
We have a listen.
Brilliant finish, like in front of goal. There's not too many would do it, like, you know, the battered finish. But like, Emery is a class act, and really strong on the frees as well. So she got some very important scores today.
Just in terms of the double header, how did you find it worked out for you?
Really good, to be honest. Like, I suppose it's probably harder maybe for the second two teams. It's kind of chaotic here now, whereas it's kind of quiet when we came in. Always nice to play before a big crowd. Kind of when you're in the game, you kind of don't notice the crowd, to be honest, around you. But look, it's brilliant to play on an occasion like this, you know what I mean? So you're so kind of focused on your own match, you don't even think about the second match, you know, that kind of way. But yeah, look, it's a brilliant occasion to be part of, and there's a good few kind of family connections, say the girls, the Staclums and the McGraths, say between this match and the second match. So like, it's great for their families as well, you know.
The McGraths will be doing better to best Emer's performance out there today. Bragging rights.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I'd say they give it a good attempt on it between John and Noel and Brian. I said they will, and of course Maria Dinn is the first cousin of the McGraths as well, Maria Davison, so big family occasion.
She's that McGrath family, huh?
Good at hurling, it turns out.
So where do Cork need to improve here, looking forward?
The attack, definitely. Right. It's easy to say, like, oh, what's happening with this Cork team? Like, when we were speaking in the last year or two, you were saying they're almost unbeatable, almost untouchable, bar Galway. But when you actually look at they were missing seven that started the All-Ireland final. You've got 2.5 back line, both midfielders, like two in the full forward line, true varying mix. Like, Laura Tracy retired, Hannah Looney and Aoife Healy heading off to Australia. Ashton Thompson and Amy O'Connor are both injured. I don't know when they'll feature again. It's like, that is huge. And it just shows the esteem that people hold this Cork team in, that they're saying, like, how can you be bowing out? But there has been so much change, and not ideal for them. They're not going to have a competitive game now until the first weekend of June. So
against Galway, is it?
Against Galway, yeah. When we heard Colin Murray talking last week, saying that it's such a disadvantage to them that they don't have a provincial competition. And now you look at Cork, and they're pretty much in the exact same boat, bar one game where they probably didn't learn much. They had a lot of, I think they've 9 involved in the under 23 panel as well. So it's
okay.
It's not just to say, like, God, that it's not good enough, because they did try, but just wasn't clicking for them out there at all.
Do you know what I'd like to know is, a year on or so, like, has anything been learned off the back of Scartgate?
Ooh, has anything been learned? I was going to say, like, the Camogie Association maybe would have learned just to listen to the players and have a look and say, like, these are really obvious things we can implement. But it's funny you mentioned that, because we had the league finals last week, and if they were drawn, they were set for a replay, not extra time.
Okay.
And the replays would have taken place last weekend when the first round of the provincial championship was due to take place.
Okay. So
talking to a lot of people saying, we nearly hope this goes to a draw just to see what they might do. Lined up for the same time for provincial. So look, in that case, maybe not. They're lucky that they got away with it, that didn't actually have to happen.
So there's an absence of, like, collective organisation, planning, is it, thinking?
You think so. But then the event, like the doubleheader, worked really well. So, you saw Clare played Waterford in the quarterfinal of the Camogie as well on Saturday. And, I mean, that was probably primed for a doubleheader with the hurlers in it, because they played in Ennis on Saturday. So it would have made a lot of sense. It was a really exciting game. Went to extra time. Waterford were a goal up, and Clare equalised with a goal, and like 1 minute to play in injury time, Waterford got the wins. Like, that would have been perfect for a doubleheader before the hurlers. So look, they are doing a lot of work, and I know it's hard when they're different organisations. We won't go down the integration route, but yeah.
Did you, like, this time last week heading into the doubleheader?
Yeah.
Did you have a bit of anxiety about how that was going to go versus how it played out? Did it go better than you thought?
In terms of the game or the doubleheader?
Yeah, just the idea of an occasion of the doubleheader, the Tip Cork.
No, I thought it was going to be outstanding. I don't know why. Maybe naivety on my point. The game wasn't very exciting. Look, it didn't lend itself to the crowd really getting behind him. It was easy for the Tip crowd to get behind Tippy because they were kind of
home and hosed
at that stage, and it wasn't a great game to watch. So it's difficult sometimes when you're covering the likes of ladies football and Camogie. Even when your own team is playing, you just want the game to be good because you want eyes on it, and like you're expecting this great spectacle for no reason. Like the hurling game was good, but it was by no means what we'd hyped it up to be, and no one will bat an eyelid because it's hurling. So it's almost try to hold it to a different standard sometimes, which isn't fair in the players. Like, they're just going out to win at the end of the day, and Tip did get the job done, but like no one was there for the first half, maybe a couple of hundred. Right. Everyone was soaking up the atmosphere around the square, probably watching the hurling realistically. So I thought it would be a lot more exciting than it was.
What can be done, do you think, to make it better? Because by a doubleheader by nature, there is going to be a decision for people to make.
Yeah. Honestly, social media promotion of it. I don't think the Cork GAA had a single mention of it across the posts, just to say that also this is a doubleheader. It was on the tickets and it was on maybe the initial post, but in the whole week up to it, just even on the graphic, there was no mention that this is a doubleheader. Same for the Tip Instagram. They had one story up, I think, the night before, but that would have disappeared. But on all the graphics, it was just the hurling team is out at 4 p.m. So.
You hear that so much, don't you? I mean, because the Sunday game had a big debate about the week before about the promotion of the game. They got a lot of backlash because they could be in control of this promotion. It does feel like a lot of people in this country talk about the need for all the organisations to be better promoted, but then going about doing that seems to be a different story altogether.
Yeah, because the respective Camogie teams, they're promoting it really well on their pages, but it's just that tiny bit of collaboration just to pop it on each graphic just to say that this is happening.
Informal integration with social media would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the hurling side of it, Dara Fitzgibbon had a decent game himself.
Yeah.
Against Tip as captain. You were speaking with him last week.
Wanted to see if he had a favourite position. I think everyone will agree, maybe even just after the first 15-20 minutes, keep him at wing forward. You know, he was so good there. And Tommy O'Connell has slotted well into midfield. Like, I think he's great. He gets back so well and he's always involved. Winning those dirty balls around the rock. So it was interesting to hear Dara's answer when I asked him if he preferred anything. It was very diplomatic, in fairness to him.
I honestly don't mind. I play all my club hurling in the half hour lane. I've played probably midfield a lot for Cork over the last 10 years. The boys at home in Charleville would often be mocking me and this because I play in the half hour lane with Charleville. They're saying I can't even get on in midfield in my own club team. So but I genuinely don't mind. There's pros and cons to both positions. You know, probably in the half hour lane you're a little bit closer to the goals and you know you're kind of more of a target for puck outs, so you might be you're less depending on breaks and you know you again might bypass you a little bit less, but you know, enjoying both. And you know, I'm not going to be one to be trying to give out about what position I'm playing on the Cork senior hurling team. You know, it's a privilege and you know, very grateful to be playing in either position.
We've seen Barry Walsh come in this year to that half forward line, and I know there's been a lot of talk of him not playing with the under 20s against Waterford tonight, so hopefully we might see him make his championship debut at the weekend. What's it like having younger players like that coming into the team?
Yeah, you know, it's every panel and every team needs an injection of youth every season. You know, Barry is coming in. He showed that he's at home. You know, at this level, with any of the games that he's played in so far, whether that's in that full forward line or the half forward line. But you know, he's such a top class young guy as well. You know, he's so level headed. You know, and you can see that there's no kind of, I suppose, pressure or there's no nerves on him either. You know, he's so, like, physically, he's just in unbelievable shape. Like, myself and Theo Manny were actually speaking on the way home in the car from training on Saturday, just saying, like, the weights that he was lifting in his gym and the way he's able to move, like, he's years ahead of what we were when we were 19 and 20, you know. So, you know, there's great days ahead for him down the line, but hopefully Sunday can be one as well in whatever role he plays.
He's the third favourite to be Hurler of the Year, essentially. Him and Brian Hayes is who people think will be driving Cork's glory this year if they're to make it.
Stirring to pass. There we go. Excellent stuff.
I've just pointed it out. Yeah. These are facts. Aaron Galana's favourite because obviously it's very early season. He's already been sensational.
I think what I would like to know is what's the reason that Cork won't go one further this year?
He's putting words in my mouth there. I didn't ask that.
I think that's what he wants to know.
No, I'm just...
It worried me that we went so far up, and when you compare Cork to Limerick, I think Limerick at that point, they put the game to bed.
This is Cork 9 points up with 10 minutes to go.
9 points, yeah. And like, we hit a couple of silly wides, and even at one stage, like, Rob Downey takes on a shot. It's like, why? You don't be taking that on. Just lay it off, you know? You've had an unbelievable game. We don't need to go for the spectacular here. And there was no need. We were celebrating when William Buckley put over that last free, celebrating. It's like, we shouldn't need to be celebrating now. Like, this game should have been long put to bed. Like, it was a great performance. It was brilliant. I was so nervous going up there. I really didn't know what to expect. The last time I'd been in Turles Bar, the Club All-Ireland was covering the Tip hurling homecoming. So it was nice to kind of settle those demons myself. I'm sure the players had demons to settle on the pitch. But personally, from a punchy point of view, it was nice to come away. You know, Stephen Gleeson was beside me, so take a good few bragging rights from that. But there's no way that should have been as close a game as it was, even towards the end. So that's a small bit of a worry. And just on Dara Fitz, I don't know if you saw the clip at the end of the Sunday game of that poor kid getting a belt in the face of Dara Fitz's hurley. And are you a member of the Cork Hurling Supporters Facebook group at all, Colm? Do you frequent that area of the dark web?
Or are they trying to find this boy?
Yeah, so Kavanaghs of Charleville, Dara Fitzgibbon is like a brand ambassador for them. He gets the cars off them. They had a post up looking for the child and his parents' contact details, and everything's been sourced, and Dara's going to be presenting him with a signed jersey and meeting him at the Limerick game next week. Because I saw the kid walking through the tunnel just at the end, and I assumed he'd gotten the belt of a ball pucking around at halftime, because it was madness after the game. And I know Arthur spoke about it last night, but you could see Ben O'Connor trying to get around to all the players individually and
on the pitch,
yeah.
And he couldn't do it.
Like, and if he stopped for one photo, then he was goosed.
Yeah,
because he was there, Joe. Parents getting the big snap with him and signing autographs.
Somewhere in the crowd is a young Rory McIlroy asking Roy Keane for a photograph and getting turned down. And 20 years later, he'll get to say, look, I've won 5 All-Irelands. How many of you, Ben?
Yeah.
Probably about 5 by that stage as well.
But yeah, it was bedlam. And even watching the players come in from the tunnel as well, it was like, Joe, NFL, NBA style, people hanging over, trying to get them to sign stuff. And Joe, they were all really great with their time. But Tip took the moral victory after that video, I think, with them. Was it Noel McGrath, John McGrath immediately went over to the child to check if he was okay. Yeah.
Stuff like that is the reason that pitch invasions get stopped. They'll stop it because of this. Things like this.
Yeah, kid has a story now to go into school being like, I got hit in the face by Dara Fitzgibbon, and next week
that could have happened anywhere in the streets.
I've tickets, and now I've got a signed jersey, so he's better off.
Yeah. It was a mad culmination, wasn't it? Like the amount of autographs that Ben O'Connor was signing and pictures he was posing for. It was like, this is only round one of the Munster Championship, but that is like it's just like the fervent passion of the Cork supporters. It's like, that has to be the year. Everything's coming out at once. Like, there's only one game.
Everything aligning.
That's very healthy.
Yeah, and everything just aligning. Summer, sun's out, and Tipperary. You know, it was just...
You have to enjoy the journey because you never know where it might end.
And we've had some great journeys recently. Just can't find that destination. Yeah. It's been driving around for a long time. Darren McCarthy's frees were booed.
Oh, classy move again.
A small bit. So even when Tim O'Mahony, that's why I put that in the notes, Tim O'Mahony stood up, he was getting a lot of jeering when he stood up to take those long range frees.
That's sad to hear too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming from both sides.
Yeah, that's sad.
Both sides.
Especially when you're champions, you don't need to carry yourselves
like that. We're both sides in this, are we?
Yeah. I'm very impartial. When Dara did come on and he took a couple of frees, first one wasn't so bad, but it's just when he takes that step back. And it was only coming from like a small portion of the terrace, maybe a little bit boozed up after the day, but I actually think it's counterintuitive to boo him, because you boo him, he scores anyway, and then the Tip crowd get a huge lift because they're saying, don't be booing him again. So if there's any advice, just, you know, it's a nice thing not to boo him, but you know, it's also probably good for the team morale not to boo him either.
Yeah, it's pathetic. It is pathetic. Like,
yeah, no, small cohort. There was just so many in the audience. Vocal, the small cohort, we're quite vocal.
What's sort of these 99s?
Oh yeah, traffic was chaotic leaving because there was, you know, there was so many people around, and I think a lot of people were just milling around at the pitch for so long. I did the little work on the laptop, sat in the car for a good while, just like watching people going along. And when I was leaving, I was just driving past. So Semple was on my left, and place was still so buzzy. Like, they had like a big fan zone where kids could play games, and half the tip team just walked against me when I was driving eating 99s from one of the vans down the road. And we talk so much, we hype so much about it, and it is such a serious thing, and you're criticising them so much when they're on the pitch and looking into everything, and then 45 minutes later you see them just strolling around the road with 99s with kids everywhere, and it's like, this is actually what it's all about. You know, it's not that deep.
Yeah,
it's great. They didn't seem too baffled either. You know, it's not like they were straight home, heads hanging. So I think they'd be disappointed to lose, but just mentally it didn't seem to take much out of them. I'd say they're going nowhere.
Ah, that's a lovely attitude. But where's the winning mentality at the same time, having these 99s afterwards?
You know, they showed it in the second half of the All-Ireland final last year, which apparently all the ghosts of that have been exercised because you beat them in the first round of Munster, which you get a special prize for.
I've never said that. We never said that at all. We're just reporting what happened.
We just had a lovely day out.
Just reporting what happened.
First thing on Monday, you were like...
Faulkner is having 99s.
It's the ghost.
They were thinking about 99 more like, huh? Huh? Getting that over the line.
The other Camogie game that you said that wasn't a doubleheader.
Yeah.
The fact that it did go to extra time means they're probably going to have to pull these forward quite far from the throw-in time to give yourself that wiggle room, which probably makes it...
defeats the purpose of the doubleheader.
Not entirely, but certainly...
Oh, I think it would. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it trickier to get that crowd in because they have to be in an extra 40 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
To give the 40-minute warm-up on the pitch plus the extra time, which you don't need.
And you saw even the chat that I had with James Heffernan was chaos because that was in the tunnel just as the tip and the car curlers were running out. So it was madness down there for about 15, 20 minutes while the Camogie finished up and the hurling came on. So, but look, I hope it's not the end of it, but there's just a little bit more promotion of the fact that it was a double header. Maybe it wouldn't have gone astray.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Rachel, good stuff. Thanks very much.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50-milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150-milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.